Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to Playmakers. New home here at 105.5 WIRI. Happy to be here. Love the new digs. Think the jersey looks good on us.
That's right.
Seth and James here with you on a Friday afternoon, wrapping up the week. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, sponsoring the hour. Big appreciation to them. We're wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Maybe if you call up, I'll stop saying it like that.
There you go.
No
yeah.
Chance. No chance.
No chance.
I stumbled into something and I will never let that go.
He's going to keep it.
I'm a former wide receiver. I mean, I have to say it that way. We're here to talk about anything other than football, it feels like, on my outline for the show here. But, of course, that means nothing. Your guys' thoughts and feelings come first. Call up and join the conversation, 715-424-2600. Just a touch or two away on the Civic Media app.
Yep.
Love to hang out with you. At 4:30, we're going to be doing something fun. We're bringing something back. It's Meet Your Rafters.
Yes, it's back.
And we're not just going to bring it back and just, you know, go ahead and have me talk to, a person who doesn't, who's just wearing a Rafters jersey.
Right.
Like, no. We got Coach coming in, everybody. We got new field manager for your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, Coach Tom Ziggy Lowsky.
Ziggy Lowsky.
He's coming in just to make sure, just to smack me back upside the head and make sure that I get that name right. Coach Ziggy is the way I'm going to refer to him.
You're safe there.
And that's apparently what he was. I'll get to know him a little bit today. I know I want to send a big shout out and thank you to Assistant GM Jake Adams setting that up and everything. And really looking forward to having Meet Your Rafters back at 4:30 today. We'll be doing that.
Yes.
Certainly we'll talk about, like I said, anything you guys want. Got our story of the show a little bit later. I think you're going to like this one, Seth.
All right.
But I want to talk baseball to start things off. And I was telling Seth and trying to keep my energy and my passion and not fall off my soapbox too early here in the show before we even hit the airwaves.
Right.
But I understand that the NHL and NBA playoffs are going on. Both have had their excitements.
Sure.
That the NFL schedule release. There is some high school sports going on, and not just here in our area, but, of course, around the country. So I understand there's a lot going on, but for the life of me, I can't understand why it is not a bigger deal and has not been talked about more and not in the A block of more things that the commissioner of Major League Baseball has ruled that the bans from the from the game end with the passing of
a
person.
Right. So they go from like basically in perpetuity, meaning forever, to lifetime bans.
Yeah.
So as soon as they slog off this mortal coil, they are now eligible to be reinstated. Now, it looks like the Hall of Fame is following suit with that as well. So we'll see what happens. But
so that's a key part of this that I think is not only lost in the shuffle, but not talked about nearly enough. Because, Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred reinstated them yesterday, making them finally eligible as far as Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose. And yes, I put Shoeless Joe ahead of Pete Rose. I am a White Sox fan.
Well, you should.
In fact, Manfred unbanned everybody who has passed. Quote, obviously a person no longer with us cannot represent a threat to the integrity of the game. Therefore, I've concluded that permanent ineligibility ends upon the passing of disciplined individual. So this is committee doesn't vote again until December 2027.
Right.
Earliest they could possibly get in for any of these individuals, or any individual for that matter, is 2028.
Right.
I think that this needs to be stressed, because when I am seeing people report and talk about it, they're talking about it as if Pete Rose is already in the Hall of Fame now. Like, he's automatically in now. And the Shoeless Joe is. And I'm not, I wish I was exaggerating, but the only time I've heard anybody from the mouse to the fox talk about this, all they're talking about is as if these guys are already in. As if we haven't seen Major League Baseball sports writers for over 100 years refuse to give 100% of the vote to Babe Ruth. So you think they're just going to all of a sudden be like, you know what, these guys, you know, they deserve, you know, they're all of a sudden going to stop, they're going to start thinking about something other than themselves. That's not possible. It's not, first off, so I don't think that it's necessarily a shoe-in, and yes, I said that, that one of these guys get in, or both of them, or any of these individuals. But I do want to talk about, so just putting that aside, because we're not even there yet, and again, I don't know, you know, what PR teams are going to they have to work to make these individuals go in. I don't even know if anybody outside of me cares about Shoeless Joe Jackson. I know that there has been family members that have fought for him over the years.
Right.
But I will tell you, it's a dying fight because nobody's listening to me. Nobody's listening to us. Either they don't care or they've already made up their minds.
Right.
And I'll have more on that in a moment. But with Pete Rose, I think it is much more interesting. And I want to put some focus on that, Seth, and everything. This is not a show we're doing in the South Side of Chicago. I'm not an idiot. I understand our audience. But I also have to use this microphone where I can. Mm-hmm. And I do think that it's noteworthy about Shoeless Joe Jackson. For one, very similar to Ty Cobb. And you hear me ramble about that all the time. Ty Cobb, a drunk, bad sports writer who could not come up with a better storyline, decided to make Ty Cobb the most evil man in sports.
Right.
Which he wasn't.
No.
By all accounts and by thousands of accounts, he was not only a good guy, but kind of a boring guy. And that's why this sports writer did this. He's like, well, Ty Cobb is this amazing player.
We need some better stories, right?
Goes to cover him, and there's nothing to talk about other than him, the athlete on the field.
Right.
And nobody's picking up newspapers for that.
Because everyone's expecting Babe Ruth, right? Whose personal life was like that. It was crazy, all this crazy stuff. No. No, Ty Cobb was not like that. Not at all.
Babe Ruth didn't just set the standard for baseball and what it was to be an athlete, mm-hmm. and the stats, I mean, what it was to be able to pitch and hit or any of these things. He was the first bona fide superstar.
Celebrity.
Yes.
That went along with it, yes.
And it wasn't because he was boring.
No.
So that set a standard. That set a standard.
It did.
Ty Cobb could not meet.
Yep.
Now there's a great book out about it, and there's other great movies and TV, mm-hmm. or not movies, but TV shows and everything, and a lot of good documentary work being done on that, and telling Ty Cobb's true story.
Right.
I think that if you are a fan of baseball, you owe it to Ty Cobb to learn that story. It also takes like 5 minutes.
Yes.
It's not that long.
It doesn't. Yeah, it's not going to take a time out of your life to do
it. I asked for 2 minutes of your time to go into Shoeless Joe Jackson's quote-unquote guilt.
Right.
He reportedly refused the $5,000 bribe twice, even though it would effectively have doubled his salary, only to have teammate Lefty Williams toss the cash on the floor of his hotel room. Jackson then tried to tell White Sox owner Charlie Comiskey, who would not talk to players because he believed he was above them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He did not like his players.
Still, Comiskey refused to meet him, unable to afford a legal counsel because he could not afford anything because athletes, I think we forget this, Seth, not only working two jobs oftentimes, but 2 to 3 jobs while playing as well in the game.
And it needs to be noted that Comiskey was among, you know, cheap owners. He was like the cheapest when it came to salary. So
Jackson was represented by team attorney Alfred Austrian, a clear conflict of interest. And before Jackson's grand jury testimony, Austrian allegedly elicited Jackson's admission of his support role in the fix by paying him with whiskey, which never again happened. Also, years later, the other 7 players implicated in the scandal confirmed that Jackson was never at any meetings. Williams said they only mentioned Jackson's name to give their plot more credibility.
Right.
Although he did not say what Jackson might have done with the $5,000.
Right.
Jackson's performance during the series also, of course, itself lends further credence to this story,
mm-hmm.
Where you know, Shoeless Joe was an amazing athlete. Jackson batted .356, had a lifetime batting average of .356. It is still ranks 4th highest in MLB history.
Right.
After his passing, this has been talked about a little bit, but the movie 8 Men Out, while a solid movie,
mm-hmm.
is a movie, and it is based on fiction. It is not based on great reporting. It is based on a lot of loose fiction and a lot of fun storylines that people thought would make a good movie, and destroyed any credibility that that man had. Again, you don't get Shohei Ohtani, you don't get Aaron Judd without these guys, without Shoeless Joe, without Pete Rose. If you love this game, if this game has entertained you and your family for a lifetime, which it has in mine, I'll speak for my own and just for myself. That's why I'm talking about this.
Right.
It deserves to be. We've dishonored these guys. And not for nothing, plenty of jerks in baseball.
Full of jerks.
Boy, if only we had some other, you know, that's the problem. We just can't find enough people to talk about. There's plenty of people to talk about in baseball.
A couple of things about Joe. First of all, he was extremely, he was illiterate, functionally illiterate when he played. And he was very conscious of the fact that he couldn't read. Like a lot of people who can't read, And they're very careful with how they say things, and they're very careful with the way they do it. And they come back and they come off as slow or stupid. He was a normal guy. He wasn't a genius, but he was like a normally smart guy. And there's one exchange he had with a reporter. I can't say it over the air, but it's one of my funny. It's like, "Hey Joe, how do you spell cat?" To which Joe responded, "Hey guy, how do you spell?" Word we can't say on the air. So it's one of my. It's funny. It's hilarious. But also, yeah, I mean, he was considered like by far. I mean, they called him the best natural hitter, whatever that means. You know.
Yeah, yeah, that is.
He had the sad misfortune of being in the same time as Ty Cobb, who was the best hitter and the best player at the time. Joe gave him a run for his money though a couple of times to be sure. Maybe, I mean, a lot of the players that were involved, of the 8 Black Sox players that were banned, probably no one took it harder than Joe Jackson did because this is really sad. I don't even know if it's true or not. There's a sad story that he was later running a liquor store that Ty Cobb just happened to be in. And he recognized Joe, but Joe didn't seem to recognize him. And he said to him, "Joe, don't you recognize me, Joe?" And Joe, he didn't even respond to him. Basically, he didn't want to acknowledge that Ty Cobb was. Mm-hmm. I might be getting that story a little wrong, but anyway, basically, it was that one of those things, the forgotten man, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Also, remember, all 8 players were acquitted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of any wrongdoing, it was Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the commissioner of baseball, that tossed them out. His famous statement when he started, regardless of the decisions of juries.
Yeah.
He did it because he was tasked by the owners to clean up baseball. And someone had to be made the martyrs, or the scapegoats. And that's what the Black Sox ended up being.
It's a shame, but it's not very often in history that we get to rewrite these things. Mm-hmm. And we have an opportunity to.
Right.
And I think it's on us. And I put it on the baseball voters to do right by this.
However they do it. It may not be the writers. It may be a committee. I'm not sure how the Hall of Fame is going to handle this because it's going to be different. I don't know if a lot of people know the Hall of Fame is a separate entity from Major League Baseball. So they have their own rules, actually. And they've been following baseball with the bans and everything, but they may come up with their own decisions. I'm guessing they will go ahead and lift the bans as well. And probably the only Black Sox player that will be in the Hall of Fame is probably Joe Jackson, and deserves to be because he was a superstar.
I'll have just a little bit more on him a little bit later in our stories of the show. But I just certainly have to talk about one of the greatest hitters in baseball history, one of the hardest working players in baseball history, so much so that one of the greatest nicknames in baseball history, Charlie Hustle and Pete Rose.
Yes. Given him by Mickey Mantle, by the way.
It's amazing. Baseball nicknames are the best.
Yes, they are.
I want to note that there is a lot of things off the field about Pete Rose that have nothing to do with gambling that are very questionable and that could have affected his Hall of Fame eligibility in itself. And I'm not going to be one of these people that gloss over that or try to romanticize him as a person or anything like that.
Baseball has a morals clause. That the only Hall of Fame that there is a morals clause in it, which can be held against you, like it did with Pete as well. So,
as a sports show, I'll move on, but I do encourage people to look into that.
Yep.
But looking at him, the player and the gambler, looking at those two factors, I just as a quick glance at the 3-time World Series winner, once with the Reds, twice with Philly, the lifetime batting average of .303, Major League Baseball's career leader in hits, games played, at bats, singles, and outs, just an incredible athlete. And if you were just looking at the even just batting, won 3 batting titles, 2 Golden Gloves, Most Valuable Player Award, Rookie of the Year. I forget about him being Rookie of the Year.
Right.
He came out the gate like this. One of the some of the more memorable moments in baseball history, including in the All-Star game.
Yes, when he took out Ray Fosse. Poor Ray. Feel bad for him. So,
One of the more quotable guys and stuff. And certainly, if you're looking at him, the athlete on the field, and all you're seeing, you're a computer, and all you're seeing are stats. You have no idea why Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame. There's no
right.
There is not one hole in his game.
Nope.
There's nothing that tells you that this is not a Hall of Famer until, of course, you bring up the gambling and some of that.
Yes.
Now, I want to know two things. One, he said on the Dan Le Batard show and some other places about how he felt about the Hall of Fame after death. Mm-hmm. But I also think that it's noteworthy that this is happening at a time when gambling is now American pastime.
Yeah.
It always has been.
Yeah, it's always been there.
It's always been there. Going back to riverboats. Look at the story of riverboats in the Kansas City area.
Sure.
And how they evolved from being on the water.
Yes.
To just being attached to the land.
Yeah, right.
To being these giant hotels. It's insane. Just that one little story of American gambling, and you'll understand why I mean that this has been American pastime under like this. But now we're talking about it like this.
Right.
With DraftKings and draft this and draft that and all these other places that I don't want to give 2 cents to. We're in a day and age where we're saying the quiet part out loud, mm-hmm. and gambling is where it is. So it's a little bit it's incredibly hypocritical for any Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. to say that you can't be in because of gambling. Although we all understand that gambling on a game when you're playing it or coaching it or managing it, mm-hmm. or something like that seems to be pretty wrong. I got to think that even the most immoral person hears that and was like, well, I wouldn't even do that. I mean, you know, or something. So I all of these factors. Mm-hmm. But then there is a key factor when it comes to Pete Rose. And maybe if you're doing that to me, if you're doing this right and you're going off the man himself, mm-hmm. and what he wanted and believed, which is something that I believe is something human beings do for those that pass,
mm-hmm.
something we've done for a long time. We have these things called wills and powers of you know, estate and all that.
Yeah, right.
And we go to that, Seth, where quoting Pete Rose, I've come to the conclusion, I hope I'm wrong, that I'll make the Hall of Fame after I die, Rose said in an interview which took place 10 days before his death, which I totally disagree with, because the Hall of Fame is for two reasons, your fans and your family. That's what the Hall of Fame is for. He went into this more and in more extent on the Le Batard show that I played for Seth earlier, and I just want to make sure to credit the Dan Le Batard show, who, you know, I love Dan, and I love what they do down there. And I was blown away by this, because I did not expect Mr. Ego to say this. I really didn't.
Right.
But at the same time, it kind of makes sense for Mr. Ego.
Oh, absolutely makes sense. To me, when I heard that, I mean, you have to, anything that Pete Rose said, you have to understand that he's doing it from the thing of what can I get out of it? Because that was his whole life. Okay, that is who he was. That's why he was such a good baseball player, because he was so laser focused on doing this thing. And he did it. I give him all the credit in the world for that. A lot of people do, you know, say, I'm going to do this, and they can't. He did it. He didn't have the greatest skill. Mm-hmm. He made himself into a major league ball player who has the record for most hits. But that's why he was terrible at life, because all he cared about was Pete Rose. And that, again, that's the same thing. What I hear when he said that, I don't care, because I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
So it only matters if I'm there.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe I'm not being, I'm being a little, you know, not being nice to him or whatever. But if you look through his life, you look through his autobiography when it came out, you look his quotes when he was a player, he's like, yeah, you know, let's hope people are watching this when, you know, salary time comes around, I'm going to get more money, that kind of thing. He would say stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, man, he had, I mean, he hurt his own family a lot, his own wife, his first wife. I mean, with all the stuff he did with people and other, I mean,
yes.
We don't need to get into that, but yes, it's so. I think we should honor Pete Rose by not putting him in the Hall of Fame.
I like it.
Just like he said, he didn't want to be. No, I don't care. If he's in the Hall of Fame, I don't care. He can be in there. Cincinnati fans will be happy. You know, they want him in the Hall. That's cool. You know, mm-hmm. That's fine. I have no problem with that.
What I would like to see is what I've always liked to have seen with these guys, and of course the steroid era, the Gang of Ten or whatever it is, you know, those guys.
Yeah.
Is put them in with an asterisk. It's not that hard. Baseball record books are filled with asterisks. It's not like we're introducing something brand new to the sports world here. We have this thing called an asterisk. You might have seen it on the most recent Marvel movie.
What does that mean? We do not understand what an asterisk means.
And think about the education you could do with that. It's not to say,
I'm telling
hey, you do something bad and you still get rewarded. Mm-hmm. It's to say, no, this follows you. This follows you. You could be known as the home run king.
Mm-hmm.
You could have that, Barry Bonds. It could be all yours with no debate, no question whatsoever. And instead, 99% of us, if we're asked who's the home run king, Hank Aaron. Like instantly, instantly. Yep. So you have an opportunity as the game to teach something here and to be more than a sport.
Right.
Which I would think that the Hall of Fame is supposed to be about, because if it was just about numbers, all you would see is plaques of numbers.
Exactly. It would just be the stats. I think that's in their mission statement, to educate.
And
is part of their whole reason for being.
And not for nothing. There is not a single person listening to this right now or in the world that would pay as much attention to they do as sports if you didn't know these athletes. If you didn't know something about them. I'm not saying you've got to know their whole bio, but as they're walking up to the plate and you're hearing that this kid plays at this college or this thing, or you hear interviews with them or whatever it might be, nobody is watching games just for numbers. Even if you are the biggest baseball fan of all time, you care about what? Your team.
Yeah.
Your regional. This extends farther than just players. Every year, every high school around America has people show up to watch these games that don't know the players, but that's their alma mater. That's why you go to the games.
Right.
It isn't just to see wins and losses. We love that, but it's the story, it's the person, it's the thing that brings us to these games.
Experience,
So to have a Hall of Fame, you've got to have stories and people and personalities, and you got to take both factors in. But I do think it comes down to, and this is a case-by-case thing. I hate people that get on the airwaves and want to, this is the only way, and No, man, I'm giving you my opinion. You have your own. It's cool.
Yeah.
I have nothing. If you think the exact opposite of me, more power to you, man. I have no problem. That's one of the beauties of this country.
Yeah, right. Call up now. Talk about it. We'll talk to you about it.
For me, the Hall of Fame has to be both. It has to be this debate, this thing of, hey, well, Ken Griffey Jr. not only played the game right, but also was had one of the best swings I've ever seen in my life, and gave literally everything he had to the game. I know that because I've seen him throw himself into center field wall a million times and things.
I want to address one other thing real quick, James, if you're all right. The timing of this with Rob Manfred.
Yes.
The more I learn about Rob Manfred, the less I like. I mean, he's just. He's the definition of a tool. Really, he is. I can only think he's doing this because he's be like, I was the commissioner that allowed Pete Rose to go into the Hall of Fame or something like to that kind of effect or something like that. It seems it seems cynical to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just jaded with him. But
I have a hard time believing. No, I don't think you're alone on that. I think that I brought up the gambling and the gambling companies because
that must be a big part of it too.
There's no way that there's not contracts and stuff involved right now and conversations going on with that right now and everything. A lot of contracts have, especially at this time of year, are wrapping up, and you got to sign new ones or look at extensions. Baseball is staring down the barrel of a strike in the next couple of years that you were the first to touch on that I know of. There's a lot of factors for here, and the ego part of this, which I think that he would certainly relate to about Pete Rose. Not nearly the hitter Rose was.
Although he has in a different arena. He's been known to take hits at people.
Because I would love. I'll be honest about this. If this was Bud Selig doing this, I'd be raving about him right now. I'll be honest. I didn't mind Selig. I thought as far as you're never going to have a perfect commissioner.
Of course not.
It's impossible. You're not going to be able to please everybody. And their job is not to us. It's to the owners.
Right.
So
as long as we're clear about that. Yeah, exactly.
We're never going to be happy with any owner in any environment or any sport.
Right.
A commissioner, I should say. But at the same time, with him, there were some local ties, I'll admit. But also, I felt like he did the job pretty darn well. For anything good that you want to say about Rob Manfred, it's no different than Bettman with the NHL. It's more so it's one step forward, three steps back, or they only did that. The only reason this worked, they did this, is because they did this one thing wrong, so wrong that they had to overcorrect or something like that. He has not earned benefit of the doubt, that's for sure.
No, he hasn't. As hard as he's tried.
I'm going to be following this story, and I'd love to know what people think about this, especially any school. old school baseball fans out there, mm-hmm. I want to know where you stand on this. Seth and I have been talking about this all week. Where we stand on it. We want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. One of my stories of the show, just to wrap up our first segment here, and we are getting ready to bring in Coach Ziggy and our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and talk with them a little bit with Meet Your Rafters. Real quick note, too, breaking news from Adam Schefter, the 49ers and quarterback Brock Purdy are finalizing a five-year deal, $265 million.
Woo!
This was going to happen. Yeah. Just the numbers are what people were a little more questioning and wondering how that was going to work out. But one of our stories of the show, Shoeless Joe Jackson, how did he get that nickname? Mm. In an interview published in the October 1949 edition of Sport Magazine, Jackson recalled that he got his nickname during a mill game playing in Greensville, South Carolina. Jackson had blisters on his foot from a new pair of cleats, which hurt so much that he took his shoes off before an at-bat. As play continued, a heckling fan noticed Jackson running to third base in his socks and shouted, "You shoeless son of a gun."
And that might have been sanitized a little bit.
I'd get into trouble with the FCC. I don't make that kind of money. And the resulting nickname, Shoeless Joe, stuck with him throughout the remainder of his life.
Like so many nicknames, it was an insult at first. Hey, interesting parallel, by the way. Charlie Hustle was not made as a compliment.
Right.
To Joe. Oh, look at that old Charlie Hustle out there. Yeah.
That was, as you touched on earlier, Mickey Mantle gave that to him as more of a shot.
Yeah, it was like a spring training game. And Pete Rose was trying to, you know, catch a ball that was like 10 feet over his head. He's playing the outfield that Mickey hit. And it's like, oh, look at that Charlie Hustle out there. Well, sometimes it sticks.
It's interesting. I mean, we could spend a whole show talking about baseball nicknames.
Yeah,
we could. But we've got to get to our time out here, take care of our partners, and, of course, get ready for the Meet Your Rafters.
Yes.
That is right around the corner, everybody. We're looking forward to talking some baseball. We got our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters coming into the studio here in moments here at WIRI 105.5. Here, a big shout out to Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods. Big thank you to them for letting us hang out with all of y'all.
Love it.
We'll be back after this.
Well, KC was winning, Hank Aaron was beginning. One Robbie going out, one coming in. Kiner and Midget Goodell, the Thumper and Mel Parnell. And Ike was the only one winning down in Washington. I'm talking baseball.
Welcome back, everybody, to WIRI's Playmakers here at 105.5. Big shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods sponsoring the hour. And welcome to Meet Your Rafters 2025. We are excited to bring this segment back to our show here at Playmakers. One of our longtime segments going way back to Carl Hilke and plenty of other people who have covered the Rafters for over 16 years in this area. I got in with me right now, Assistant GM Jake Adams. Jake, you brought in a friend. Introduce him.
Well, I mean, I could introduce him very well, but I think that voice you're going to be hearing season long. I will defer to this gentleman right here.
Well, thank you. I guess I'll give myself the introduction. My name's Austin Thomas. I'll be the radio broadcaster here at WFHR, and I'm really excited to get going with the season. And been here in Wisconsin Rapids for, I think I'm closing in 5 days now, and been getting to know the area, and man, it's feeling like it's ready for baseball season.
I know to the audience out there, a little bit of a schedule change here and everything. Coach Ziggy wasn't able to join us, was telling the audience about that. So he'll be with us at another time. We'll hang out with him pretty soon and get to know him. We've been wanting to hang out with Austin, so this works out. It's perfect. And appreciate you setting that up, Jake. Thanks so much for bringing him in and giving us a chance to talk some Rafter baseball as we are just weeks away from it. I will say, Austin, as an interviewer, I refuse to use different questions, so I'm going to ask you the questions I was going to ask Coach Ziggy. So how do I say your last name? No, in all seriousness, though, that is probably one of the early things you've got to do, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is just going over names with the players and coach and everything?
Yeah, no, pronunciations is always a huge thing when it comes to commentary because you don't want to be messing up a player's name, you know, especially if you're trying to post those highlights. I had a story from a long time ago back in high school, and since that time, I've always made sure to kind of at least check with a PA announcer, or if I'm able to access the players, to talk with the players before I do that, because going back to, like I said, those high school days, I had great call, game winner moment, and I said the guy's last name wrong, and I posted it online later, and he was the first one to like the reply, and I go, oh man. Man, oh man.
I appreciate you telling the story, because I was definitely going to follow up with that. I had to hear the story. And God, if you have ever met another human being that can relate to that, I do a show, Rapids Report. I interview a bunch of different guests throughout the week. I mess up everybody's name. And it is humiliating every single time. I feel so bad. And thankfully, nobody ever gives you a hard time for it.
Oh, yeah.
But it is nice. It is one of those interesting things. Tell us a little bit about yourself, man. Where are you from? How long you been doing this? Tell us a little. We'll start there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm from the Kansas City area in Missouri. Grew up in a suburb called Lee's Summit. So I really got into broadcasting probably about my – well, I started loving the craft of it my sophomore year of high school when I was doing sports highlights and shooting like that. But I didn't actually get into broadcasting commentary per se until my junior year of high school. So that's about 4 years ago now, because I just finished up my junior year of college. So – yeah, 5 years-ish I've been broadcasting, commentating games, and just loving every single minute of it. So started off, like I said, doing high school stuff, and then went to college at the University of Missouri. That's where I still am at right now, and have gotten more involved at their student radio station, the KCOU is what it's called, continuing to call those games, and even gotten a little bit of side broadcasting with another online broadcasting company called the Show Me Sports Network. And then over the last 2 summers as well, I've been working with the Sioux City Explorers in the American Association.
Oh, so that's all.
Yeah, well,
that's awesome, man.
I got to put it out there.
What
you know?
Are you, like 20? That's awesome. That's incredible. That's a really great, especially beginning to a career. I imagine that it's not only being able to do it at different levels and everything, but being able to find different outlets. The more and more every year I'm spoiled. I get to talk to new Raptors announcers and get to meet these guys, and I follow every single one of them like I'm going to follow you wherever you go in your career. And everybody's blowing up. Everybody is doing very well who has worked with the Raptors as announcers. It's not just the players that go on to go and play in the MLB, but so many of the announcers that get an opportunity in the Northwoods League move on to great and better things. But I imagine it's got to be an exciting opportunity for this. What was it like getting the call, getting the opportunity to be a voice the Raptors?
Well, it's funny because it was simply through email when I first got the reply back. I think I was emailing you, Jake, and it was really just a heavy week of me sending out emails, kind of cold emailing all of these Northwoods League teams. And it was strictly Northwoods League because I knew I wanted to be in that league. I thought it was the best opportunity that I was going to have to be able to call all of these games. And so I was specifically emailing to those teams, and just happened that I found the Wisconsin Rapids Raptors. And then Jake hit me back with an email. And from that point on, we were able to set up an interview. I think the interview went great. Loved talking to both him and our general manager, Ken, as well, and really great guys, and was a great introduction. And of course, I've gotten to meet so many new great people as well here just in my first few days.
Do you have any influences as far as announcing go? People that you grew up enjoying, or people you go back and listen to? I know for me, I grew up in an athlete household. My dad was a minor league hockey player and boxer, and I feel like as somebody who loves sports but didn't have the body for it at all. I found a love, because I also found a love for acting at a young age. So for me, the merging of those worlds was announcing, what was calling these games, talking about these games. I thought it was the best of both worlds. And I have kind of a high standard for announcers. I have no right to. I admit that, but I kind of do. And so I almost feel like I have a higher standard for announcers than I do for players, which makes no darn sense whatsoever. But I'm rewarded by that, not only with the Raptors, but by especially in baseball. I think baseball, by all rights, nothing against the other sports or anything, the greatest announcers of all time, the first five, and most of them are going to be baseball announcers, your Vin Scullys and people like that. Who are some of your influences when it comes to just announcing in general? It doesn't have to be baseball.
Well, that's a tough question to answer. There's so many that I've listened to throughout the years, and I think really I've picked up a lot more over the last couple of years, even than going back to when I was a kid. You know, when I was a kid, I'm listening in, and I think it's great to get to hear all of these great broadcasters. I always loved Joe Buck, and everyone hated on him, but I was always a Joe Buck fan. And so, as a kid, but I wasn't really listening as closely to the way that he calls a game or whatnot as I am now. So at least over these last few years, every time I'm listening to a game, I'm listening to what is this broadcaster doing? How are they taking this one up to the next level? Why do I invest myself in this game? And one of the guys that I've found that I love the most is actually a guy named Adam Amin. He's the voice of the Chicago Bulls. And I have loved the way that he always has these little nuggets and brings in the audience to kind of feel at home and has a conversation with himself, the color commentator, and kind of makes it feel like you're one part of the family. So trying to bring in, you know, the audience to make them feel as if they're part of the broadcast and know all of these things that you do, that's one of my favorite things.
That's a great comp. I really enjoy his work. I'm a Chicago and I'm a big Bulls fan and everything.
Yes.
And I really enjoy his work and everything. And I wouldn't have thought of him though. It's actually it ties perfectly into what we're doing right now, because that is the only way. I'm not a professional interviewer. I am not a professional announcer or talker or anything like that. I didn't go to school for these things. The reason I've survived in this business for 20-some years is because the way that radio has gone, where it is much more free-form, it is much more, we don't have to all talk like this anymore and be perfectly spoken. It's much more open now. We know what audiences want. They want to hear real people talking. Why wouldn't announcing be that way? I just hadn't thought of it. And he's a great example of that. Just a couple more things real quick I wanted to get into, and I brought up that phone call earlier because, one, I'm old and I didn't say email. Obviously, it'd be an email between you guys. But for you, Jake, you're going to go through so many voices. You're hearing so many. What was it about this one that stood out to you and why you wanted to reach out to Austin and have him a part of the team?
Honestly, it goes back to how I started in this industry. When I was in college, I had no direction. I had no connections. I was very just playing as I go for a college student. And I said, you know, baseball was kind of a passion for mine. I wanted to work. So I did the same thing. I sat down and I emailed every surrounding team and said, hey, I want to work for you. What do I have to do? One of them gave me a chance, and that's why I'm here today. Mm-hmm. So when Austin emailed us directly, he was one of the first emails I got when I started as assistant GM. I said, That's something special, because a lot of people will send in the applications, won't say much, and won't give any examples. Austin sent a highlight tape. He said, I'm very passionate about working in sports. I worked for the Sioux City Explorers last 2 years. I'd love to come to the Northwoods League and call games for the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. I said, that's talent right there, but that's also passion for what he's doing. So I said, let's do it. Let's have an interview. Immediately after the interview, Ken looks at me and says, that's a voice for radio. We got to get him out here. So we made the call later that day, and now he's here.
It is a great voice. I'm altering it on my side because I can't compete with that. I'm not about to do that all season long, man. It is a great voice for radio. I hear what Ken was talking about. For you, there's so many sports. You're a smart guy and can pick that up right away just meeting you. And you have a good energy for this. And we obviously are talking about that voice that you've got. Why baseball?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Well, for me, baseball has always had a special place in my heart. It was the first sport that I ever got into, first sport that I ever played. And so for my entire life, baseball has existed. It's the sport that I've probably watched more than any other sport as well. And I love all other sports. I think basketball is another great sport as well. Basketball and baseball are kind of right up there for me. And obviously, I watch a little bit of football as well. But, you know, it's baseball, when you look at it, it's just such a fun sport to call. There's so many different stories that you get to tell when you're on the air. You get to talk to so many different people. It's not just the players, not just the coaches, but their family members. It's the people that they've interacted with within the community and all of these different stories. You have the time to be able to bring that into your broadcast, to kind of bring that community feel in there. And like I was talking about, make them feel like they know who these guys are and what they mean to everyone in the community.
Well said. One of the more difficult things I would think going into this, and I say this as somebody with experience, as when I was a kid and I first moved out here, I was playing Frank Thomas baseball, and I'd turn the announcers off, and I would announce the game doing color. And so I have a little experience with this.
Okay. Everybody.
No, I. But one of the things that I would run into that I always thought was interesting is the home run call. One, do you have a specific one that you go to? You don't have to give it to us right now. We'll wait for one. We're going to have plenty of them this season. But when it comes to that, did you think about it? Did it happen in a moment? Or is it something that's a work in progress and everything? Because it's not necessarily something I feel like you have to have. I'm sure you didn't have to, in order to graduate from college, you go, well, what's going to be your home run call? You know, like your thesis or something like that. But I'm curious if you've thought about it at all. And if you have, have you practiced them at home or anything like that?
Yeah, so it is actually something that I have worked on and am currently working on. Because when you look at a home run, a lot of the times it's a big moment. It's hard to think of all of your fundamentals when you're going through it. And that is something that I am still working on, is making sure that I'm going through those fundamentals when I'm doing a call and I'm able to think back to some of those notes that I've taken. Now, like I said, a lot of the times I don't do it, but there is one call that is my favorite, and it's whenever I say the word booyah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I like to say whenever whenever I slow it down and it goes over the wall. I see it. It's out of here. Booyah.
Yeah. Oh, it's a classic.
That's
a classic,
my favorite
man.
One.
That's perfect.
And there's actually a story behind that one, too. So it's a small story, but every single year, every summer, my family has a family reunion in Green Bay. And it's a big thing for us, and I've gone to it. I think I've missed maybe 1 year of it my life, maybe a couple more, but it's always stood out to me because I get to meet so many of my family that I don't get to see throughout the year. And so I wanted to kind of show them back the support that they've been giving me, because every year I go there, they're like, wow, he's great at what he does. And so I've been working on adding that booyah into my call, because booyah is what we call our family reunion, and it's also the soup that we have whenever we're eating together.
Oh, God, I love that. See, now that is what I'm talking about sports. That's what I love, the story, everything else. Hits, wins, all those things are fantastic. We love to win around here, but that's what brings us to the game, is those kind of notes. I appreciate you sharing that. Man, I'm looking forward to hearing booyah a lot this season. And we're looking forward to the season. 10 days away, Jake, as we're wrapping up here with you guys. And thank you so much again for the time and everything. We're getting ready to get our oars. I know you guys got some promotion stuff you've been working on over the week and everything. We looking forward to that. What are you doing right now in these last 10 days before we open up Winterfield for the season?
Honestly, it's just final preparation time. I mean, interns started on Monday. Austin wasn't the only one to show up. We have our biggest intern staff ever. We're looking at about 17 or 18 interns for this summer, mixed with this full front office. We're excited. I mean, we even had a player report already, and that's never happened where I've seen in my entire career, and player beating the interns to the ballpark. if you see them around town, Hiroto Kobayashi is already in town and already spent all week at Winterfield hitting and just getting ready for the season. But honestly, we're just getting ready for a fun summer. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be fun at the ballpark. That's what I've been preaching all offseason. That's what I've been telling everyone who will listen to me. We're going to have fun.
We've got fun in the stands and things going on in between innings that are going to be so exciting. So many different promotion ideas and stuff. Things that you've come to love with the Raptors for many years, along with some really cool, unique ideas. Just thinking about them get me smiling. But you mentioned a player being in town, hitting the park earlier than he needs to, reporting earlier than he needs to. And God, did you guys feel that? Because, man, that felt good to hear. There's something about that that is just so exciting. And so we're so close to it. We're so here. And of course, the 26th, we'll be having that game right on 105.5 or 97.5 FM WFHR. We're excited about that. The home of the Raptors, as that has been for 16 years, right where it belongs. Looking forward to an incredibly good season ahead, because we can't lose around here. We got baseball. It's 5 minutes away from us. There is no losing when it comes to the Raptors baseball. We're excited about this. Grab your oars, everybody, and get ready. Get your tickets, single day, game day tickets. Make your plans for summer at Northwoods League.com, and we're looking forward to hearing you guys, and you guys are going to be back in a lot throughout the summer. Get used to being here and everything. We might even get you a parking spot or something. I don't know, but thank you again for the time, guys.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
And we'll be back with more Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods, here at 105.5 WIRI.
Welcome back, everyone. WIRI's Playmakers.
I should have timed that better. Didn't time it right. I'm getting used to it. I'll get it down.
Yeah, I'll get it down.
Right. We welcome you back to the show. Last 10 minutes for the week, everybody, and we're excited to bring it to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Big shout out to our Wisconsin Rapids Rafters, Jake and Austin, joining us. That was a lot of fun.
That was good.
It's a really fun interview, man.
Good, in good hands this year with our radio broadcast, by the sound of it. Sounds like he's going to be really good.
One of the things that I'm excited about whenever we get these players here and announcers here and all these interns, but especially just looking at the players and the announcers, they're all in the same boat. They're all looking for opportunity, reps, and what comes next. And I have follow all the Rafter announcers still, like on Twitter and places like that. And guys, look into it, because it's so cool to see where these guys go and what they're doing. Every single one of them are successful and still working in the industry.
Which is just great.
And most of them are attached to teams, like hometown teams and stuff, and getting to do what they love to do. And it all started right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
Isn't that cool?
And that's just them. And not to say just them, but in the sense of, you know, the focus goes to the athletes so often.
Right.
But these announcers, it's the same game. And it's so cool to see. And I don't know about anybody else, but I root for them just as much as I root for a player.
The marketing interns, you know, the front office people that help out and learn a lot just by being here. I mean, we've seen them go on to do great things as well. Although I got to say, it's still fun to see a Phillies game and see Bryson Stott, come up to the plate. I just, it was the other day, and I was like, oh yeah, he was a Rafter. That's cool.
There's nothing like
there's
that.
There's nothing like that.
When I was, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, but when I was working, living in DeKalb, and I was working in right next door to there at a hotel. It was the fanciest hotel around there and everything. They were a minor league ballpark for the Kane County Cougars.
That's right.
Where Ben Zobrist went to play. And I met him, and I really liked getting to know him and talking to him. He was in a lot, and he was a late guy. He was up late, like I was, and I was the third shift, so of course I was. I had no idea that he'd make it to the major leagues.
Of course not.
Let alone be one of my favorite players, because I love utility guys. Like, I love guys that could play all positions and everything, which he was. And obviously what he did for my father and papa's team in the Cubs. It's cool to see this stuff go. Again, going back to the stories in sports, what brings me
Even back in the day when this was a farm team for the Minnesota Twins, they got to see Gary Gaetti and Kent Herbeck and all those guys who went on to win, you know, World Series with the Twins. So I mean, even that, it's just cool.
This area has a love of baseball. That I know that there's a lot of sports they like around here, but I don't know if there's anything that's like the love of baseball around here. And especially when we see you know, how people show up at Winterfield for these Rafter games,
it comes naturally. It really does.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, and we're very excited. Yep. We will have Coach Ziggy joining us at some point this season. He can't dodge me for he's got
a little car trouble. Yeah, whatever.
I feel for him, man. Yeah, I feel for him. God, am I in the same boat? did want to talk a little bit of baseball with you, Seth. A little more baseball with you, especially because it doesn't happen only but a couple times a year where your Minnesota Twins face off against the audience's Milwaukee Brewers.
That's correct.
And let alone that, but you're coming in hot.
Yes, well, sort of. They came in hot. They've won 11 games, and that's true. They have been very hot. But I don't know if any people had heard in the last game, Byron Buxton and Carlos Correa ran into each other. And they were looking
snake
head to head, man.
Just snake bitten.
It's just, so we'll see what happens. So this might be the turning point. The luck may be going downhill. But either way, this is always a fun series. I have always followed this since it started. Interleague play started. I mean, they played each other in the American League before, you know. Yeah. So they've always played each other, even in the past. But when interleague play was brought in and they got to play them again after a couple of years where they didn't, it's always been a big series. It's always fun going to a Twins and or Brewers game. It doesn't matter which stadium we're going to. Beth in her Brewers outfit, me in my Twins outfit, and getting the comments from people as we walk by. That is always the most fun thing.
I can only imagine. And not for, I mean, I don't know, both teams being having a lot to play for, as you would hope most teams do at this point of the season, to be fair. Mm-hmm. But both teams certainly playing with house money in some ways. I think that we forget that about the Brewers, not only with their success of the recent years, mm-hmm. but the expectations with that comes with that. But both playing with house money in their own way. Because with the Brewers, with the quiet bats and some of those mm-hmm. things, it's so early. I refuse to get too upset about this right now.
No.
We're not even through a quarter of the season yet.
It's a big old settle down, everybody.
But that also has a shelf life.
It does.
And so they are playing with house money in that regard to me. Where in Minnesota, there wasn't really any expectations, and they have exceeded them, especially in the last 10 games.
Yeah, they've reeled off those wins. So, I mean, there's always something, right? Something to look for. The Brewers, like you said, have been on the bats have really gone quiet. So they're looking, of course, to get them going again, get some runs for their pitchers, because there's nothing worse than trying to pitch with like a tiny lead or no lead. Of course, that makes it worse. And of course, the Twins are trying to just keep going, keep the good times rolling, right?
Got a really nice staff. I think in Minnesota.
Yeah, surprising, actually. I didn't think they were going to be this good this year.
I'm not sure.
The staff, I mean.
You would know this better than me if Lopez or Ryan is the ace, but either one or two there, in some regard. Maybe I'm wrong there, too.
No.
Of them, but.
Lopez had an off year last year. Joe Ryan had a good year and then kind of tailed off at the second half of the season. There's a case that Joe Ryan is the guy right now, mm-hmm. which is really cool. It's good to have that. But the guy that's surprised me, Chris Paddock, has suddenly become the Chris Paddock that was with the Padres 5 years ago.
Yeah.
The guy that everyone thought was going to be this great big league pitcher. You know, a lot of arm troubles. He's had two TJ surgeries. And look at him now. All of a sudden, throwing 96 miles an hour, 97. That is out of nowhere. I did not think he was going to be like that.
Tonight, you've got Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota, 3-2, 274 ERA, 54 strikeouts, going up against Chad Patrick. Righty with the 2-3 record, 3-19 ERA, 36 strikeouts.
Yeah. So it should be a pretty good matchup tonight. Yep.
Minnesota, 24-20 on the season. Milwaukee, 21-23. Playing better at home than on the road, I believe.
That's usually generally how it works with them.
So.
home sweet home.
We're going to see where this one plays out tonight. As far as teams ahead of them, in Milwaukee, that is, in the division and everything, Chicago destroyed my White Sox today. just beat the living daylights out of them. So they've already won today.
Yep.
Cardinals, I believe, are yet to play.
Yep.
And Milwaukee, of course, sitting at 4.5 games behind right now. But again, quarter
it's
of the season.
Super early. Honestly, you're never out, unless you're the Pirates. You're never out of the National League Central. You're never out.
Yeah.
Anyone can take this division at any time.
Not only the bright spot being that you got some arms and some reinforcements coming back when guys get healthy, like a Brandon Woodruff and those things, but I think
That's going to be a big one.
Logan Henderson for them, for Milwaukee, is a bright spot right now that I would keep an eye on. I think he has got a great young player, and we're going to see. It's a long season, but...
And I don't want Brewers fans to feel too bad about Meyer being sent down. I think he's going to be really good. I think, like they said, he just needs to work on some stuff. Usually when that happens, when you send him down, it's a confidence thing. They need a boost in their confidence.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where he's at.
Wrapping up with a story of the show here, I wanted to get to, and talking a little bit as we were talking about legends of baseball and these guys that were not into the Hall of Fame. One of the things that I think another storyline that has been talked about nearly enough is the Negro League stats being introduced to baseball. And
That's such way overdue, but yes, it was a good thing.
It's such a big story that even though it happened a while back, I wouldn't be shocked if we were still talking about it. That's how big it is to me.
Yes.
And in part because of so many legends of the game that had these interesting stats because they were only in the game late in life, and so they only had some certain stats. Now they make more sense.
Yep.
Like one of my favorite players of all time, Satchel Paige.
Yes.
like a lot of you out there, grew up with a father that loved Satchel Paige, therefore I love Satchel Paige.
Sure.
And heard many stories, especially about his renowned hesitation pitch or the knuckleball and other descriptive pitches that he had in his arsenal. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I remember of Satchel Paige is his amount of pitches he could throw.
Yes. Different arm angles he used. It was amazing.
Just like nothing we'll ever see again.
For those who remember Louis Tiant, who used to pitch that way, he was kind of like Satchel Paige, but I mean, there was only one Satchel. by the way. His by the way, if you look up his list of sayings to live by, my all-time favorite, don't look back, something might be gaining on you.
That's so good. One of the things that I love, again, stories of sports and stories of baseball, is where did they learn these things? And I came across this the other day, that Satchel Paige, legend, learned how to throw a knuckleball from Cool Papa Bell. So according to the
wasn't even a pitcher.
according to Washington Post, in addition to the knuckleball, Cool Papa Bell also taught Paige how to control his curveball. He was known for his exceptional speed and skill at ball playing, but Paige greatly admired his abilities overall in the game.
Wow, I didn't even know he knew how to pitch. Cool Papa Bell, I mean. That's amazing.
And we both, in the last 30 seconds, got to say Cool Papa Bell 4 times.
We did.
Yeah. This is the story worth it. Worth it.
Like, what a great nickname. Oh, what a name.
Great week. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We'll be back next week for more. Enjoy your night.